The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Alrighty, we're off to a brutal start because
false start on first and ten.
I told Charlie what I wanted here to start, and he got
lost in the wash
in one ear and out the other because he was thinking about Rutgers win over Penn State last night.
Yeah, too busy.
He was looking to see.
What's the kid's name? Harper's kid?
Is Markstrom in goal for the Devils for their next game?
Devils!
Is Dougie Hamilton going to get 22 minutes of ice time?
Is Travis Zajac going to snipe one from the high slot?
Was Bobby Holik going to come out of retirement?
Dougie Hamilton.
I don't think I was in the studio when you asked for something. So.
Oh, no, then that's an Austin.
That's Austin's fault.
Then Austin turned the ball over.
I came in here and you were talking about where you are today.
We are at Porky's. That's where we are, in Aetna's. This is a really cool place. Malsie's cousin is here. Let's put her on the air and have her start telling stories about you.
Is this, what are you, like a true Pittsburgh now in Aetna's?
Aldi? We can put an S on everything. If Cook can say Swagger, I can say we're in Aetna's.
We're in Aetna's. Oh, a new town that just got made up on the river.
Chris's cousin is here, so she's already promised she'll come on and just tell embarrassing stories about you.
And there's no shortage of them.
Our for the win charity drive continues. We are collecting gift cards and money to help raise money for the Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh. Porky's.
They got a big smoker outside, dude.
Smoker's out there.
I'm so pumped.
Dollar off fresh smoked wings. They have amazing barbecue here. The money they're taking off the bill is going to go to the Women's Shelter, so they're going to help do their part. We're excited about that. If you can't get here, which sucks, you can go to 937thefan.com and make a donation there.
So we've got their nice little back room. We're set up. And you know what they have that I love? I think it's a mark of a great bar. They've got the Christmas tinsel up here. Very
festive. I thought you were going to say the Pennsylvania State regulated games.
Oh, well, the games of chance, too.
The slot machines.
But I see a little tinsel. I see some Christmas lights. That's the kind of place I want to be in.
You got a Keno board over here, too.
Have you ever played Keno in your life?
Yeah. Not sober, but I've played it before. You take the little pencil, the golf pencil out.
The last time I was in here, speaking of not sober, was me. Nice place, though.
T-Bird's off to an electric start here on that front.
T-Bird's been in it this week so far.
T-Bird said it's, quote, drinking weather, was how he introduced himself to me today. All right. Let's get down to it. We didn't have a clip. It was going to be Tomlin talking about the Eagles game on Sunday. There's a lot, not just Steelers, Eagles, to talk about today. The Pirates trade. Tyler Kennedy will join us later this hour. Sidney Crosby bitching about the Penguins getting booed last night in a 6-2 loss. We know George Pickens isn't going to play. That's been the theme of the entire week. Mm-hmm. Who is your pick to step up with George out? So the question is, if you could handpick a guy to step up and have a big game on Sunday, vital to the Steelers orchestrating an upset win, who is it?
Can I ask for one very quick point of clarification?
It doesn't have to be a wide receiver.
No, that's fine. Catcher. Are you asking
anybody on the team
who I think is the likeliest candidate to do so, or who would I want
to see step up because of what
it would foretell?
And you're saying, yes, we need this guy to have a big game. If we're going to,
I think my answer is the same.
We're going to win there for the first time since 1965.
Sure.
Chris Mueller is nominated.
No, that's fine. We're talking across purposes.
Corliss Waitman to have a huge game.
No. We're talking across purposes because I thought you meant big picture.
Christian Kuntz.
It would be a great story sign for the future if
not
for
you
future
saying,
considerations.
I believe this guy will do it and predicting it, saying if they're going to win the game, this is the man that needs to do more than he's been doing in order to make this happen. Status quo ain't good enough. He's got to up his play in this game on Sunday.
Oh, boy, a name just popped into my head, and I might go with it. Because I had one all at the ready. I'll give you the boring one. I'll actually give you the
one. Oh, yeah, let's do that.
No,
let's,
I'll give you the one that I had in my head.
Give
and then,
me the one
and then
it's
my,
less,
the,
less
no, 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 I'm just going to say the name of the one I had in my head, and then I'm going to go with the more juicy one.
T-Bird, well, do you have one?
What's that?
What?
You're unbelievable.
The name I had in my head at first was
probably
Friar.
Stoned out of his gourd
was,
right now.
Was, no, come on now. We can't say that about T-Bird right now. He's enjoying some fine champagne here. The name I had in my head, the very first name, was Freiermuth. Just because I think it's like a logical thing. They're not weak at any point on that defense. The corners are great. The linebackers are still really good. They're sort of undersized,
will
which is why I was going to say.
Will he be comfortable there because it's friendly territory for Penn State players?
No.
As a man that went to school with all these Philadelphia
hooligans? They don't care if you went to Penn State and Philly. Once you're wearing
the other
jersey.
No soft spot for Freiermuth.
No, none.
What if he had won like a Heisman Trophy there?
More likely that he would be greeted warmly if they were playing the Patriots on the road because he's from Connecticut.
Interesting.
High school vibes. But that's not the answer to the question.
Is Philly not a Penn State town?
Well, there's so many more people there. I don't think Penn State has nearly the sway that it does like in Allegheny County where you've got just this insane concentration
Penn State, Temple, Notre Dame. Is Penn State ahead of Notre Dame and Temple?
It's ahead of both. Notre Dame's ahead of Temple too, probably just on general principles. But it's just, dude, people have no idea if they're from Pittsburgh how big Philly is. Like, you drive into Philly from the Jersey side, it looks like it's as big as Chicago. And so, like, people just don't realize you don't have kind of like the small town vibe you have here. The actual answer I'm going to give you is T.J. Watt.
Why are you switching now?
No, I told you I was giving you like the one that was in my head to start the show, and then when you just said who needs to be great. Then it switched over to Watt. So I wanted to give you both, and if I took one of your two, too bad. That's why.
Not.
That's the perils of asking me.
You did not.
I think one of the stories about Watt is he is still right up there near like the top of the list for
he's
defensive player
favorite.
Of the year.
He's better than even money.
Oh, he's still
to win
okay.
It, yes.
Better than even money. I don't feel like this is close to one of his best seasons.
I
right
mentioned
now.
That to my trainer Anthony today when I was.
Oh, congratulations! What kind of triceps extensions were you doing?
No, I was doing one where like the bar is low. I'll demonstrate for you here.
Oh, perfect! This is what I was hoping for.
And
today.
So you have to. Grab the bar off it.
Yes.
And then you bend down a little bit and bring it below your knees and then bring it back
up. But it's
up
not here. A deadlift?
No, because it's not all the way down to the ground. It's more working the hamstrings.
So it's just almost a hamstring iso.
It's a hamstring-centric.
Has he ever had you do the thing where you do a lunge and with the same elbow on the leg that is, like, up in the air, you, like, get your elbow all the way down to the ground?
No, I don't think so. Not yet.
I'll show you that one during the break. I'll show you that one during the break. Anyway, I think it's Watt, man.
No, but we said at the – I was saying at the gym, Watt being the favorite to win the award, to me, is more like a make good for last year. I'm not saying he's had a bad season.
He hasn't had, like, a Watt season,
but I agree with you. I don't think this year is equal to last year. The year he lost the award to Aaron Donald, I thought he was better than the way he's playing right now. Watt is benefiting from the fact that there's no one on a really good team who's compiling huge sack numbers, and therefore he's almost by default the winner of the award. But I agree with you. Like, I don't feel week in and week out like he's had these monster games. So when I ask you this question, like, there is more to what he can do. He's not maximizing. Like, if you said Chris Boswell, I would say back, what are you talking about? Like, he's giving you
everything you could ask for. Yes.
Every single
There's
week.
Nothing else. You can't take more water from the rock there.
Bingo.
There's a lot more for Watt to give. Like, I think they go in there, and you can go look at the scores. We've talked about this all week. Even good Steelers teams in years where they have won the Super Bowl go in there and kind of get, like, roughed up. You know, it's almost like they get beaten, they get humiliated and beaten up. It's just what happens there. He is as good as the Eagles' roster is. They might have a guy that if the NFL's MVP award wasn't such a ridiculous farce where it only goes to quarterbacks now, would win it. In a just world, he's not going to win it. T.J. Watt is at worst the second-best player in this field because of Barkley just being there, okay? He probably is the best if you're going by – and he's definitely the best if you're going by career reputation so far. He's had a better career than Barkley. He needs to be – where is the T.J. Watt game where you look at it afterwards and you and I are all laughing and Donnie's laughing and we're going, he had three sacks, he terrorized Hurts, he batted down a couple passes, he punched the ball out of Barkley's hands and somebody picked it up and went the other way. You know who's flashed more than him this year at outside backer?
Highsmith.
Both Highsmith and Herbig. Both guys. So T.J. Watt's my pick, man. Make this – you want to pull off a stunner? How about T.J. Watt puts the old team on his back like Greg Jennings in that Madden video and does it?
Hey, to each their own here. The reason why I disagree with you, though, is because if you've watched the Eagles play this year, they're really like a, can I say wet dream on the air, T-Bird?
Well, you just did, so, I mean, who's going to stop? It's too late.
Yeah, true. They're kind of like, the way they're built and the way they play is, I think, Tomlin's idyllic view of a team.
I don't think it's a coincidence they brought in Andy Weidel to be an assistant GM here.
They're super physical. They don't turn the ball over. They run the ball more than any team. They run the ball better than any team but Baltimore. They barely throw the ball. I mean, that's why A.J. Brown is so pissed off there.
Right.
Their defense is incredible. It's the best defense in the league right now.
It's phenomenal.
In terms of right now, they're giving up the fewest points lately, giving up the fewest yards on the season. Pass defense is incredible.
They look like the most impressive team in football for a long stretch.
What I'm saying is that I don't think they're going to throw the ball enough for Watt to really take over the game. He's going to have to make the most, I think, of fewer opportunities. That's why my answer in this game is Najee. You've got Pickens out, and they've got defensive backs in a secondary to take the pedestrian wide receivers of the Steelers away and really make it impossible for any of those guys to get off and have, you know, days where they go way above what they usually contribute to the team. I think Freiermuth is kind of maybe...
He's playing too well for this
But he is a good X factor because who is he going to get matched up with? It's not their great corners. It might be on a linebacker.
If it's N'Kobe Dean, he's got to eat.
So I could see him having a big game. But the ethos of the Steelers has been we run the ball, and especially when a team is so adept at taking the pass away, I need the Najee Harris that ripped off those 100-yard games and was a pain in the ass to tackle and not the guy that we've seen lately where, yeah, he has runs and they're hard runs, but he's in and out. Patterson's getting forced into the lineup. Warren's having to come in more because they're in third and long situations and they're off schedule. Like, I need him to be a bull in this game, Chris. It can be... such a big statement game for him because he's after what Saquon got. He knows he's a Steeler for just another month or so, and then he's done.
He's looking for a real payday.
He's on borrowed time here, and a lot of these guys like Saquon and Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs and Joe Mixon got paid and got opportunities with new teams. Well, here is your chance in a matchup where it's more conducive for the Steelers to run the ball than to pass the ball for him to have...
He ain't those guys, though.
No,
he's
not.
That's the other thing. He wants to get paid like them. The guy I'd say he's closest to is Jacobs in style, but Jacobs is just a better version, man.
What I'm saying is if the Steelers can't run the ball effectively in this game,
yeah, they're
I think they have no shot.
See, I have a prediction that's going to come out of this.
He's still their – as a runner of the football,
he's
still their bell cow guy. Warren is more of their do-it-all guy. I need their lead running back to have a big game on Sunday.
I have a small prediction for this game. I have a feeling right this second that one of the things you're going to be saying on Monday is, man, I wish Jalen Carter had fallen a couple more spots and the Steelers could have tried to trade up.
Oh, I told you how much I loved him. I was making all kinds of arguments for that. He was slipping in the draft.
I am aware
of
that.
It was almost like a Warren Sapp scenario.
I'm not patting you on the back too much for loving Jalen Carter, who most people thought was probably the best overall football player in that draft class.
Yeah, but we had legit arguments and disagreements with people about
him. It was strictly about, do you want to court like the potential for distraction and the character there? That's it. Everyone, as a player, it was a slam dunk. And my point is, he is wrecking stuff for them now. Pretty much every game you can watch, like, Baldy do a cut-up of, oh, here's Jalen Carter, and he's just taking on two blockers and
Baldy loves the Steelers. He does, whether it's Highsmith,
I think he
Herbig,
loves the Eagles,
Landon
though,
Roberts,
too.
He does. It's really a Baldy bowl.
You want to know what I think this game is, and I don't have a – well, I'll say that for later. It's what you started off by saying. It's what the Steelers are, the Steelers, versus what they would want to be. In a perfect world, just the Eagles are loaded to the gills. The way Roseman runs that team, almost there are core pieces that matter, and then there are guys that are just interchangeable parts, and they all do their job. And I think that is Tomlin's platonic ideal for Allie.
412-928-9370. We are at Porky's in Etna here in this very nice. This is my kind of spot. Cool bar scene. The smokers out front.
Etna or Etna's?
Etna. They've got great food. Aditi, I think, is going to come down and hang out with us. There's a rumor going around that she might. Show up in person and do her segment.
We're not far from her stomping grounds.
We're not. So come down and see us. Again, it benefits a great cause. For the Win, gift card and money drive here. We're trying to raise money for the Women's Shelter or Center and Shelter of Pittsburgh. They need our help this holiday season. Charlie has a headline. We're right back after that. It's the PM team. All right, welcome back. We are on the road again, three in a row. We're trying to be the 05 Steelers here, and we are at Porky's in Aetna for our For the Win charity drive broadcast, trying to raise money and collect gift cards, whether it's to Target, Walmart, all the major retailers, Amazon. You can do that. Drop them off here. Come hang out with us until 6. Saving money. They're taking a dollar off their smoked wings here, and that dollar is going to go right to support the Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh. That's who we're raising money for this holiday season. If you can't be here in person, go to 937thefan.com. It is a safe harbor for me. I'm just getting murdered on Twitter today, even though I did have a Steelers employee who I will not name message me and say, you know, I'm really loving your Twitter. I can't get enough of it. I'm not going to say who that person is.
I think it. I still think you mentioned this to me. I think you might be getting actually the ultimate backhanded compliment, where this person,
Balls, thinks, you don't have to log into that right now, Chalooch.
Thinks that your Twitter is performance art when you are actually. See, I know the truth. I know that you're just being serious.
They're authentic takes.
And this person, I think, is amused by your Twitter feed because they think you're doing like an Andy Kaufman style bit. Which,
do you think our listeners know what an Andy Kaufman bit is? Charlie, do you know what an Andy Kaufman bit is?
I know who Andy Kaufman is.
Who is he?
Like comedian in the late 70s, early 80s.
Well, then I won't make it that complicated.
T-Bird, do you know who Andy Kaufman is?
Couldn't tell you more than Charlie could.
Okay.
T-Bird, do you know who Willie Nelson is or Cheech and Chong?
Of course, I saw Willie Nelson last year.
Really? Like,
he was at.
Did you guys hang out?
It was ZZ Top and Willie Nelson.
Who
was
better?
ZZ Top.
I love ZZ Top.
Man, I bet there was not a. I bet you couldn't smell any marijuana there.
I'll tell you what. You try to act like you don't get excited when you hear LaGrange come on.
It's all. I mean, the whole.
How, how.
I mean, ZZ Top is one of the great American rock bands.
She's got legs.
Don't they
know how to use them?
How about Tush? They could write it. Did they do, like, just from a ground up? Do they have a song called Feet to do the whole anatomy?
In their beards.
Legs,
they still have those
tush.
Going? Long beard still?
Yo, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Anyway, Pony.
Yeah. So she thinks I'm doing, like, I'm. It's an
acting
these
people,
job. It's not.
Yeah, there are people out there who ask me this all the time, not employees for any team, who just, like, are convinced. They're like, does Pony believe anything he puts out there? And I always feel almost bad saying,
yes.
I'm like, yeah, this is like what he thinks. Well, and then they usually are like, man, really?
Well, I got into a yelling match about this with Pomp last night.
Okay.
Because Pomp said at one point on the sports call, the most important thing for the Steelers is to get to the playoffs healthy.
Okay.
And then, so I said
it's a reasonable, like, base level opinion,
so then
I think.
I said to him my plan of limiting the snaps for Watt and Hayward and Minka and playing Fields more to lessen the exposure of Russell Wilson in this game, and treat Sunday more like a glorified preseason game than an actual game because of the gauntlet schedule that they have.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pomp's nicely coiffed hair starts shaking all over the place. He's so animated. He's moving up and down. His hands are flying because he's an Italian man who speaks with his hands like most of us do. And he just thought it was such a ridiculous take, and I had to stop him and say, you just said that
getting there healthy
is the healthiest
paramount
thing. And then he went with, well, you could get injured walking across. He gave me, you could get hurt in practice.
Then why are they playing any of the games?
No, meaning like,
no, I understand. Yes, I understand what his point was, but it would be odd for him to have given that opinion and then to have immediately shot down your opinion.
And he said, he said the number one seed is a big deal. And I said, okay, but it's not as important as this health thing. And just the stakes of the game against Philadelphia are just not that high.
If Kansas City had one less loss, I would feel very differently about – or one more loss, I'm sorry. If they were a two-loss team and I felt like I had a chance, it would be difficult, the road. But you go on the road to Baltimore and you beat them and you beat Philly and you're a two-loss team – or, three-loss team with a chance to beat Kansas City and take over that spot. I don't even know what the tiebreakers would do with Buffalo, but you get my point.
But, Chris, even then
I'd think about it.
even then, whether it's injury or just completely wearing your team out because of these three games in a short amount of time, I think the prudent thing to do is to get creative. Your backs are not against the wall. It's not 0-5. It's not even last year where you feel like you had to win all your games late.
The Steelers more than likely, almost certainly actually, could lose out, and somebody's going to do the work for them to clinch their playoff spot. There are only two teams that right now could unseat the Steelers if the Steelers lost out.
Miami and Indy. Yeah.
If the Colts lose to Denver this week and they are underdogs, they're done for that. Like, so that's one more team. If Miami loses again, if both of those teams each suffer one more loss, the Steelers are in having done nothing on their own. That's it. That's their clinching scenario this week.
Yeah, so I put that out on Twitter, and now, of course, I'm being told I have, you know.
This has been a theme lately for you.
I have worms in my brain.
This has been a theme lately for you.
It's like an RFK Jr. thing where I've.
He did have a worm that was in there for a while.
Really?
Yeah, it ate, like, it was a dead worm was in his brain.
How did they get it out?
That's a point in fact. I don't know. I think maybe it's just still, is it still in there?
So if they did, like, a scan on his brain, you would just see a dead worm in there like you do a worm in, like, a tequila bottle?
A mezcal, yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know if they took the worm out or not. I know their worm was confirmed.
Okay, this is, again, showing my ignorance on politics. Did the worm eat, like, important parts
of his brain? You would hope not. I mean, he still, like, can, like, talk and function, so you would hope it didn't eat important parts of his
like
brain.
Like, does RFK Jr. ever sit back and say, damn it, before this worm started eating my brain, I would have done better on this New York Times crossword puzzle.
I'm going to tell you what I would do.
I could have gotten this answer or question right on Jeopardy.
I'm going to tell you what I would do if I were him. I would, if I felt like in a given day acting like erratically or just being a jagoff,
you'd blame the worm.
I would do it and I'd be like, sorry, worm. You know, if I were, like, really rude to somebody, I'd be like, I'm so sorry, it's the worm in my brain.
Charlie, do you know anything about this worm-eating brain?
I knew he had one, and he said that he wants to get rid of the FDA. So, I mean, I don't know.
He blames the FDA for his worm?
He might. I don't know. I don't like politics.
Is worm in brain commonplace?
I mean, if you eat undercooked
that,
pork?
Like, if you eat trichinosis, that's, I think, where it came from. You got to get that pork up to the right temperature.
Quick research says that it's still in there.
I don't find any articles about it being removed. My brother-in-law told me there was some, like, pork test you could do where you pour something over it and then, like, all the worms, sometimes worms pop out of it.
Oh, that's pork I want to eat then.
No, but he said it's actually it's more common than you think.
I could also just cook the pork to a temperature where I wouldn't have to worry about that.
So the worms that are in there just die? You're just eating dead worms?
Pony, you're eating dead animal if you're eating pork to begin with.
Yeah, I don't want to think about eating dead worms, though, man.
There are people that eat worms and insects in a lot of countries. They, like, cook them up, they're crispy, and they eat them. Big source of protein.
Like where?
They're not bad.
What are you talking about, they're not bad?
I've tried
people eat crickets
things.
And
worms.
Stuff like that?
I've had...
Crickets are pretty good.
I had worms.
Oh, Charlie coming in from the top rope to tell us that crickets are delicious.
Where did you have worms?
I agree. I also ate cicadas.
Yeah, cicadas is a big one.
My friend Aubrey... Her mother,
congratulations,
who's very
on her
Asian,
success.
Cooked the...
Yeah, it's a big thing in Asian cultures, right? Yeah. Southeast Asia?
A specifically prepared thing. Like, they do it all the time when the cicadas come out. They were good.
So they're catching cicadas to eat?
Mm-hmm.
They're harvesting them almost.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia. We're at Porky's. Not sure they're going to be on the menu here, but smoked wings are. And a dollar off today to benefit the Greater Pittsburgh Women's Center and Shelter, trying to raise money for our For the Win charity drive this holiday season. Come down and see us. We're here till 6. 412-928-9370. Coming up next, Penguin Stanley Cup champ Tyler Kennedy. I don't ever disagree with Sidney Crosby, but I did find something I'm not happy with about him last night. We'll do that.
Mr. Kennedy!
Yes, we are at Porky's in Aetna. Dollar off their smoked wings today. Those saved dollars go to benefit the Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh. We're raising money for them, collecting gift cards. You can make monetary donations over at 937thefan.com if you can't come out and see us today. It's our big December charity push. We've been on the road a lot over the last 2 weeks and will continue to be. In fact, Donnie and Starkey are going to be at Hampton Beer Outlet on Friday together. No Pomp again on that show.
Which the Pomp schedule is a fascinating thing.
Turning into a bone of contention for Bob.
Fan Wait, hotline, for Bob or
I mean,
for Joe?
For Joe, my bad. I don't think it is at all for Bob. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service. All right, the Penguins got destroyed last night by the Avalanche, 6-2. Started to make a game of it, then the Avalanche pulled away again and ended up beating them soundly, beating them like a drum. Boos inside the arena, and they did not sit well with Sidney Crosby. He came out and complained about it, really unprovoked, unsolicited after the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say 99% of the time I subscribe in life to like whatever Sid says goes. You know,
WWSCD.
Yes, what would Sid do or what would Sidney Crosby do? Remember those bands, What Would Jesus Do, that were big back
yeah.
in the day?
We came up as college students in the bands era as far as Live Strong was huge.
Yeah, that's completely gone away. But anyways,
he was in the wrong here.
I disagree with Sid on this. I think the way the team has played this year, they get so frustrated watching the power play, especially when it's dysfunctional. Overall, the team has the worst point percentage of any team in the Metro Division. I don't think people had sky-high expectations, but they thought they would be better than this. And when they stink on home ice, yeah, fans aren't going to think about Stanley Cups won in 2016, 17, and 09. They're going to think about, what have you done for me lately? And the answer is not a lot. So, sorry, Sid. Like, you could say that these fans aren't being grateful or taking your success for granted, but hell, if I were in that arena last night, I probably would have booed too. Let's get Tyler Kennedy's thoughts. TK, your take on fans letting the Penguins hear it last night.
Well, I think they definitely have a right to boo or to do anything at the rink. You know, they pay good money to be in those seats. They have a right to show their emotion, to show their, you know, what they think should be happening on the ice. And when you guys talk about Sid, like, guys, Sid done so much for this team, so much for this city. And I know he's like, what have you done for me lately? Yeah, that's here and there. But what has he done over his career in Pittsburgh? I think we're getting a little spoiled with having those three guys. And when you guys say that, like, you know, it kind of frustrates me because I'm like, guys, are you kidding me? You guys haven't seen the other NHL teams and what they have and what their captain's saying. Sid has always been a leader in the right way. And yes, he's probably frustrated, and he has a right to be frustrated, right? Like, he's always been on a winner. I think he's trying his butt off. Things aren't going his way, and he does have a right to say, hey, guys, give us a little break. Give us a little breathing room. But, you know, on the fan standpoint, I think they've had such a great team for so long, they expect it, you know? So it's like there's like a happy medium between both of them. But, again, guys, we got to realize what Sidney Crosby means to the city, to that team. Like, he's everything.
Well, I don't think either of us are disputing that. It's just we would disagree
with him. I'm not saying
him.
Boo Sid. I'm saying I have no problem with booing the team.
I have no
know
problem
he's the
with
captain of the
team.
But too bad. The team stinks.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that clear because it felt like it came off a different way. But
oh no,
yeah, you know what? I have no problem with fans showing their dislike with something that's going on. Guys, when you know I've been there, I paid for tickets, this and that. Like, again, you pay good money, you should be allowed to show your emotion, your frustration, and just like the cheers when they score, when things aren't going their way, like you should be allowed to boo or do whatever.
TK, I think the reason, too, that people, like, I think there are people there that could live with just a frustrating, like, a 3-2 loss or whatever. They just lose. But it was a couple of things that I think people have had as hot-button issues for a while that really came to a head, which is another spotty performance from the goaltender where he's given up, I think, what, four goals on the first 20 shots or whatever it is. And then that power play, even Sid admitted after saying, like, hey, there are nights we probably deserve to be booed. I didn't think this is one of them. Even Sid admitted, though, our power play was not good last night. And so I think when fans have become accustomed to seeing this team be so good on the power play, so good offensively, and have seen great goaltending here carry them to cups, when those two things are the things going wrong, I think that's what sets people off more than, like, just run-of-the-mill bad play.
Yeah, and, you know, you hear Sullivan, he thought Jarry should have played a lot better. And, you know,
what do you make of him even saying that? What do you make of that kind of public comment there?
Well, again, like, he knows Jarry. You know, he knows the goalie he has. Like, Jarry hasn't played the best this year. Like, let's be honest. Like, he hasn't played very good at all. And we thought he was starting to come around. And, you know, to be a good goalie, you got to be consistent, you know, and Do I think they're probably shopping him? Probably, but no one's probably picking up with the stats he has. He probably has to get a good run to at least get picked up or whatever, because when you look at the other guys, Alex is Alex, and Blomqvist down there, he's not ready to come up and get pepper here and there. You know, so they're kind of like stuck with them. And again, the last four games besides last night, I thought Jari's played on an upside. I thought he's played pretty well. He made some key stops, but last night it was an off night. And when you've had a spotty pass this year, you know, things are, you know, people are going to get frustrated. People, you know, are going to doubt you right away. So, you know, yeah, it is interesting that Sully did say that, because usually Sully has all those guys back no matter what, you know, and not that he didn't have his back. He just, again, just like probably most of that team probably could have played a lot better last night, and they didn't.
Steelers are in Philly on Sunday, Tyler. Did you like going there and playing games, or did you hate dealing with those mutant fans?
Well, they definitely were mutant fans. Like, I hated Philly. I hated. So, like, when you go there, there's got the three stadiums real close together, but their fans are so nuts, especially when Sid's heyday. When we were backing the bus into, like, the building, their fans would line up. And I've never seen more, like, signs about Sidney Crosby ever, you know, with all the stuff, you know, you're a crybaby, this and that.
F-words and stuff. Yeah.
Were there little kids getting in on the act? Because they raise them young there to be that way.
Kids doing the double bird?
Yeah. No. It was like everybody, everything. Like, again, I wish we could pull up a picture, but when you go on warm-ups, you couldn't even see outside the glass. That's how many posters were around the glass. And, like, it was crazy because when we played, you know, for my 6 years, we played in Philadelphia. They had a really good team, but they also had such a tough team. They had, like, you know, the Broad Street bully mentality still, and they had, like, Carcillo. They had a bunch of guys that were all tough, Hartnell. Like, they played that, you know, that pain-in-the-butt hockey, that tough hockey. And when you went into that rink, you knew you're getting into something. You knew you're like, hey, boys, we got to stick together here because this is going to be a tough, tough game. Kind of, you know, hopefully that's how they felt when they came to our building. But there was not a better feeling than I've ever – this has probably made my top five best feelings in hockey was when we beat Philadelphia in game – I think it was 6 or 7.
It was game 6 when Max got his face punched in.
Yes, and – It was a 1 o'clock game or a 3 o'clock game, and when we left that building, they have this, like, there's an open bar in the middle of those three stadiums, and it's called the Xfinity Bar.
Yeah.
People are drinking like crazy. Our bus got pelted with, I bet you, 500 beer bottles, just like ringing off everything, and our whole bus. I don't think there wasn't one person that wasn't smiling and grinning ear to ear because we knew we just kicked their butt in their hometown. We're sending them packing. We're sending them golfing, and we're moving on. And that was, like, the best – that was, like, again, you go through a lot of great ups and downs. But leaving there and seeing them that mad that they're throwing beer bottles off the bus, it was the best feeling I've ever had going into Philly and leaving Philly.
Crowley just texted in while you were answering that and said, was it all downhill from there? You know what,
oh,
Adam? Shut the
boy.
Hell up.
Oh,
he's get afraid to have me on.
I know.
Does he
I
know
told
how to play
that.
Hockey?
Does he know how to play hockey? No.
Yeah.
I don't think he knows how to
skate.
Well,
he should learn.
If he fell on the ice, I think his body would just break into a million pieces.
Yes. Like Mr.
Well,
Glass.
You know what? I would, like, so I'm doing an adult, I'm doing my second annual Tyler Kennedy Kegger Classic South Park.
Got to get him in there. Get him on a team. Oh, get him as
like an ice level commentator, and just make sure pucks get cleared over the glass.
We're dropping the mitt. Center ice. Let's go. Let's see what he has.
Not much, Tyler. Spoiler alert. You could fight with your left hand and just open palm slap, and I don't think he could take you.
We'll talk
to
you next week, TK.
He won't show up anyways. He wouldn't show up.
No, he will not.
See you, man. There you go, Tyler Kennedy. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, low of 19. Coming up next, a Pirates trade that has divided their fans. We'll see if we agree or disagree on it. But first, Quick timeout, long commercial-free segment, and a message from Mulsey.
Yeah, it is a message from me about Awaken 180 weight loss. You know, it's one of the cool things about Awaken 180. I only check in once every couple of months because I've just found it very easy to keep my weight exactly where I want it. In the maintenance portion of the program with Awaken 180. So I'll check in maybe like once every 3 or 4 months, and it's just still great to know that that's a free part of the program, first off, and that it just kind of keeps me accountable. Like, I don't go crazy, or I know if, hey, I'm going to kind of have my fun this weekend. I'm right back to just those healthy habits that I created through the program right after that. And knowing that that's something that's in the distance, even checking in, it's just a nice little reminder to keep living that healthy lifestyle. Awaken 180, they care about you. That's the bottom line. Paige, the owner, the founder, she and her team want you to succeed and succeed in the long term. And that's what it's all about. It's an approach that's science-based, nutrition-based, and that coaching base is so important. And that coaching's free for life even after you reach your goal weight. Like I was just saying, what are you waiting for? Make a healthy change right now, okay? 844-346-1800 or schedule your consultation at awaken180weightloss.com.